Our scripture reading is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 39. You'll find it on page 1283 using the Pew Bible. The writer of Hebrews continues to exhort his Jewish Christian readers. They're under threat of persecution that they would renounce Jesus. And here he gives a therefore let us argument. He has a great claim he's going to make, therefore, and then he's going to draw out a number of applications, let us, because of that, do these things. Now, the claim has to do with his application of the Old Testament temple as it depicts spiritual realities. You may know that there was the holy place where the priests, only the priests, average Israelites never went in. The priests could go in, and then they would light the candlesticks, they would put the bread on the show table, they would keep the altar of incense going. They had a sacramental experience of God, but there was a veil, and behind that veil is where God's glory was, the Ark of the Covenant. Once a year, the high priest could go carrying blood. That was the old covenant. Well, the argument now is that that's all been removed. The veil has been torn by the blood of Jesus Christ. And every Christian, everyone who believes in Jesus, has a greater access to God the Father, to his glory and his love, than even the high priest of Israel had in the Old Testament. Now, why would we turn back from that? We literally, you and I, as the Holy Spirit brings us into communion with God through the atoning work of Christ, we have access to God the Father. We have an experience of communion with him greater than that of the high priest of old. Well, that leads to some implications, and he works them out. First is, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean. Well, let's worship God. Let's make it a priority to glorify him. We come as those cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Let's worship him. And then let's hold fast to the confession of our hope. The one thing we would never give up is the truth of the gospel, the doctrines of grace in the Lord Jesus. And then verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another up towards love and good works. Therefore, we should be a holy community. And he's going to work that out, what it means. Let's not neglect meeting together, he says. Now, the final portion of this reading is an exhortation then to perseverance. And he's going to point out that we cannot fall away. He makes a statement in verse 26, if we go on sinning deliberately, there no longer remains a sacrifice. Now, Christians read that and they go, well, I do sin. Does that mean if I sin next time, I'm going to lose it all? That is an expression basically talking about apostasy. That's a technical expression, as it were, saying don't fall away from Christ, either in faith in him as Savior, but also your receipt of him as Lord. Persevere in the faith. And he presses on them the necessity of that perseverance, concluding with a good assessment. He says at the end, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve their souls. Let that be said of us. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, beginning at verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay, and my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. The grass withers, the flowers fall, and the word of our God abides forever and ever. Amen.